Mark Suttoth, HurricaneTrack.com here. Welcome to another chapter of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. This is the chapter for December 18th, 2019, so glad you could tune in. In previous episodes, previous chapters, I have been talking about the start of my career in tracking and studying hurricanes for a living, and we're going to continue that journey tonight. We're going to look at the year 1997, and that was a big year for me. It seems like every year is a big year, right? But each year gets progressively more involved and hopefully more interesting. And in these early years, there's a lot of formative events that took place, people in the right places that I met. And, you know, like they say, I talked about this in the very first chapter, that if you change one thing, then everything else is different. And that is no difference in what we're talking about in this episode. There's always something that happens that shapes everything else. So in tonight's chapter of Stories from the Hurricane Highway, I present to you the year 1997. Long time ago now, it certainly seems that way. So I had started my business, the hurricane map making business, and in 1996, I was in two hurricanes, Bertha and Fran. The map business took off. I made one tracking map in Wilmington, and we had several sponsors, etc. We had those two hurricanes. And in 1997, I was ready to grow that and start expanding what I was doing. So we begin the year 1997, and I was working. Remember, I only made like a few hundred dollars profit off of the very first map. And so I had to, you know, do something to still try to support what was about to be a growing family in March of 1997. So I was working as a bellboy at a hotel called the Blockade Runner. Third shift bellman, not much action during the wintertime, as you could imagine. The beach is typically closed. Well, not closed, but it's slow. And we had the hurricane damage from Bertha and Fran. And so I was basically getting minimum wage, a few tips, to just kind of waste time in that third shift hour from, what was it, 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., five nights a week or something like that. And it gave me plenty of time, though, to doodle, to draw, to plan, and figure out what am I going to do next. And so in the spring of 1997, a couple of things happened. First, my first son was born, Nathan, in March. And we also had a couple of celestial events that year, two comets that were very bright, Comet Hyakutake, and of course, Comet Hale-Bopp. That was the brighter of the two. I wonder, was Comet Hyakutake 1996? Boy, it's been so long. But anyway, I remember Hale-Bopp was a big deal, and that was in March of 1997. And I was all about that. I got, you know, my son was going to be born in mid-March. And all along, I had this big plan to expand my mapping, hurricane consulting, whatever project. I had 1996 behind me, the success of that year, my experience in those two hurricanes, and so I approached a radio station in Raleigh. The news talk format seemed to be very fitting for what I wanted to do, and I wanted to take my formula of having a radio station promote the maps. I would get the sponsors, and we'd give the maps away for free and whatever. I thought, that's a good formula. Let's try that. So I sent an email, I guess, got in touch with the program director or somebody in sales. I can't remember exactly who. Maybe it was the general manager. I do remember his name. It was a gentleman by the name of George King, and he was maybe one of the station managers. He was definitely high up at WPTF in Raleigh, AM 680. And I told him my idea via email, and he was very interested. And so I drove up to Raleigh in the spring of 1997, big anticipation of doing more of these maps. And, you know, Raleigh was railroaded by Hurricane Fran. Hurricanes were all of a sudden on everybody's mind in the Carolinas. It was a big deal. So I thought I had a pretty good shot here. at convincing them to partner with me. Little did I know that something really amazing would happen. So I drove up, and I remember this just like I'm sitting here talking to you guys. I had laryngitis in the spring. It always seems to happen to me in the spring. I had it this past year when I was down in Florida for the premiere of the Tracking the Hurricanes 2018 in Tallahassee. I lost my voice back on June 12th, 2019. And if you remember that, if you were there, Brent was there. He had to read the opening speech for me. It's like every spring this seems to happen. I don't know if it began in 1997 or what, but that was so frustrating. I was just like, oh, I can barely talk. And I mean, it was horrible. Nevertheless, we had this meeting, and George King had a counter offer. He said, why don't I buy this from you, so to speak, like a franchise? We sell the advertising and you produce the maps for us. And you tell me what your rate would be. What would you charge to do that? It'll be a flat rate. We'll pay you and we can sell it and they can make as much as they want. I thought, sure, because they have a whole sales staff, right, that sell radio advertising. And back in the day, radio was a really, really still a big deal. These days, it's kind of fractured, and the whole advertising, TV, radio, you know how that's gone. It's been very difficult in the modern era here as of late. But in 1997, radio was still big time, top of mind, the way to advertise to a lot of people for a decent amount or a fair amount of money. And you reached a decent amount of people is what I was trying to say. So anyway, George liked the idea, especially considering that Raleigh was still reeling from Hurricane Fran. So we put together a letter of a memorandum of agreement, a contract, whatever you want to call it, and we agreed to a fee of around $3,100 or something like that. That's what I would be paid, and WPTF, and then a couple of other stations up there. I think it was the News Talk station in Chapel Hill, and then one other radio station. I don't recall which one it was. Maybe it was a country station. And this was all part of the Curtis Media Group. And so I got introduced to this idea that some radio stations are part of larger media groups. Ah, so that was a big key. So I worked real closely with George and his sales staff. We had a couple of other meetings explaining what this was all about. And there we go. And remember, this is 1997. I did not have a website. I did not have a web presence. And I had very little graphic design knowledge. In 1996, when I did the first map, I did work with this gentleman, as I talked about in the last chapter. His name's Dan Higgins at Higgins Offset and Thermography, a local printing shop. And I started to learn a little bit more. I learned about getting things camera ready, the proper font for things, how to create taglines, how to get logos. I was learning. So, you know, I talked to these radio guys who sell, you know, air, right? They sell airtime. How do you sell print as well for this hurricane tracking chart that WPTF would be able to promote? And you could pick it up at wherever they, you know, whoever the sponsors were, whatever. And it worked. It absolutely worked. It was a difficult, you know, because it was a learning curve for me still, but it worked. And sure enough, Curtis Media Group cut me a check for just a little over $3,000. And in the early summer, late spring, early summer, 1997, I don't remember what it was, tens of thousands, maybe it was 30,000 total maps got printed. And yes, we folded them now. Remember in the last chapter I talked about, I had them rolled. My very first edition, we rolled them. Well, that quickly, you know, I'm not rolling 30,000 maps. So we had them folded. And it was really neat because the way they folded, it ended up so that there was almost like a cover. And WPTF's logo, you'd have like a cover artwork on it and top billing for the top sponsor or whatever. And it was very, very exciting. And I went up and I did an interview about it. And it was really launching me into this world, you know, of being a hurricane expert. You know, in my very early years, I'm a degreed geographer, so at least I'm, you know what I'm talking about. I've got meteorology background, you know, the history of hurricanes, and we had been in Bertha and Fran, right? So I was growing. It was working. It was very, very exciting. And, you know, back in 1997, $3,100 would last, you know, a few months for a family of three. My wife, myself, and my new son, Nathan. And, you know, it worked. It did. It worked really well. I was very proud of it and thought, okay, we're going to expand this even more. So that part of my business was solid. And I continued to do research. I continued to consult with people. My good friend in Wilmington, in New Hanover County, the director of emergency management back in the day, his name is Dan Summers. And he's now down in Collier County in Florida, the Naples area. Dan and I did a lot of work together. And there was something brewing in Washington of a good nature. Sometimes, boy, oh boy, as of late, that certainly is nothing to be farther from the truth. You know, whatever, we don't do politics here. But in this case, political whatever worked in my favor. The Clinton administration, they did some good stuff, and some of it was, and I don't do politics. But the one good thing I remember that I owe to the Clinton administration is the FEMA program that that the Clinton administration and the FEMA group, FEMA back then was the cabinet level. Now it's part of what, Department of Homeland Security or something? I don't even know. It's just restructured. But James Lee Witt was the director of FEMA. And the FEMA group agency with the Clinton presidency backed this initiative called Project Impact. And the aim was to create public-private partnerships to build disaster-resistant communities. And they chose Deerfield Beach. I can't remember the... I should have looked it up. I try to just do this, by the way, shooting from the hip, like we're just sitting around a campfire talking, instead of just totally prepared, reading from a script or total show notes. I literally try to sit down like we're all hanging out. That's what this podcast is all about. So if I forget something, forgive me. But there was three early communities, and Wilmington, New Hanover County was one of the three. Deerfield Beach was the first, I believe, and I think Wilmington and New Hanover was the second. Maybe there was one in West Virginia or maybe one in California. I don't remember, I'm sorry, but we were one of the top three. And I think the area got like $1 million in seed money to promote this public-private partnership to build disaster-resistant communities. And for us and for Deerfield Beach, of course, it was to build disaster-resistant communities against hurricanes. So I was working on that. I got the announcement information from Dan Summers and his office, and it was going to be a really big deal. I had these maps out and all this information that I was putting on the backside. And I want you to remember, this tracking chart project is a 26 by 40, no, it's 28 by 40, full size poster, like 28 by 40, like a movie poster. Full size, it was still two color, even in 1997. But what we could do on the back of that 28 by 40 piece of paper was load it with information beyond your typical, here's what you do when a hurricane's coming, here's what you do when the hurricane's over, buy this, buy that. What I went way beyond that, and we introduced in 1997, very first time to the masses, and I'm pretty sure I was the first agency in the world to do this on a public, broad scale, almost like an advertising agency or a PR firm that is going to have a marketing campaign. Just say no to drugs, you know, fasten your seatbelt, you know, whatever, you know, and you create a campaign like the incredible edible egg, you know, and everybody, oh, the egg is great. You know, what are we going to do? We need to teach people about a very key word. And I learned all of this from Dan Summers and his office and other emergency managers around the state. And that word is mitigation. And it sounded very alien at first. What, litigation? No, mitigation. You want to mitigate damage, not eliminate, because you can't. We're fighting Mother Nature here, but you can lessen the effects, lessen the impacts, mitigate. So this project in 1997 introduced tens of thousands of people, and even more when we talked about it on the radio, to this concept of mitigation. And I do still, I think to this day, that was the first time in the modern era that anybody had ever really heard about it en masse. And I was very honored to sort of be that spokesperson to introduce this concept of mitigation, disaster resistance, whatever, to the public. And it was a huge responsibility, too, trying to be able to, you know, translate that to people and make sure that they understand what mitigation is all about and how to use it to, you know, build smarter and resist the damage from hurricanes. Okay, so that was a very, very pivotal moment for me, taking that concept of mitigation, first understanding it myself to where I could explain it to people. And boy, it was so much fun. So we had a big ceremony in Wilmington. FEMA came down. James Lee Witt, the director of FEMA. All the local news agencies came out. The radio stations, including WGNI, the local adult contemporary station, 102.7 WGNI, whom? Whatever. I guess it's whom, but... they were called, speaking of slogans, the Hurricane Information Station. And I remember hearing them in 1996 sort of promoting that. We're the Hurricane Information Station. And I remember tuning into them. And this is very, very important. So the media working with emergency management, working with the public and the private sectors, everybody working together to have a common message of hurricane preparedness, hurricane awareness, the right information, one voice, a consistent voice, was critical. So WGNI was a big partner, as was WECT, WWAY, the newspaper, the Star News here in Wilmington. This was really big, and it caught on very quickly. And I got to know some of the people at WGNI and the TV stations, etc., and we all were starting to work together. And that would go on to shape some things that we'll talk about in a future chapter here. But that was the start. This seed was planted in New Hanover County, where we had just had Bertha and Fran, right? Major damage, significant damage, you know, that we hadn't seen since the 50s, really. And it really got everybody's attention, as did I, with what I was doing. And I thought, all right, I like this. You know, this is going to work. So I worked at the hotel at the Blockade Runner all throughout the spring and, you know, made a little bit of money, like I said, off the tracking map from the Curtis Media Group. And then something else happened that showed me that this is going to be a tough road, buddy. The Hurricane Highway is not always going to be smooth. You know, there's going to be potholes on it. You want to go to the metaphoric route here? Here you go. I got a real quick lesson in, you know, things are not always going to be smooth along the Hurricane Highway. And that lesson was El Nino. Now, what do I need to really help me get my name out there on a year-in and year-out basis? Hurricanes. If there are no hurricanes, very few people need Mark. And that's just the way it goes. And that seems short-sighted, but it's true. It's like being a superhero. You know, nobody needs Superman. And I know that's quite a leap here, but just bear with me. It's a good analogy. I'm not Superman, but you get it. You know, if Superman's around, that means something bad's happening, right? And in the modern era, you've got Mr. Incredible from that, you know, animated Pixar hit the Incredibles and the Incredibles 2. And you remember what they did? They banished them to retirement. Go away, we don't want the superheroes. That's a whole other story, but it's true. If there are hurricanes, then my phone would ring off the hook, so to speak. And that's understandable, because I was a budding hurricane expert. So when you have an El Nino, as we know, it really tends to put the kibosh on Atlantic hurricanes. So here I was, seemingly rocketing pretty quickly in my career to some pretty significant success based on 1996. You know, in terms of fortunate good luck in my business, not so good for the people around here, but I don't control hurricanes, you know, whatever, right? You just go with what you do. I don't make them come and I don't form them, but I had a business based around them. So, you know, 96 really helped to propel me, but 1997 was like a speed bump on the hurricane highway, because the El Nino was huge. I mean, it was like, even Dan Higgins, I'll never forget this. I went in the late spring, we were wrapping up everything, tightening up all the maps and all the designs and everything. And Dan pulled up an article, or maybe he showed me something in the paper, I don't remember. But he's like, I don't know about this hurricane season. Did you read about that El Nino? I'm like, what? So I looked at it and my heart sank. I was like, oh no, because I knew enough by then, you know, to realize, oh man, a significant El Nino, because they were talking about it, you know. He probably read something that had some information in there from, you know, Dr. Gray or somebody that this El Nino was going to be significant. So I was like, oh boy, what am I going to do? We're probably not going to have any hurricanes. I don't mean to laugh because... But remember, I don't make hurricanes, so you can't get mad at me. When you run a business that's completely dependent on hurricanes, then no hurricanes is like, oh, that's rough. So that El Nino manifested itself in a big, big way. And it was one of the most significant El Nino. At the time, it was the biggest one. It was like a super Nino, as they call it. And it literally just shut down the Atlantic hurricane season. We had... I think one major hurricane that year, Erica. Hurricane Danny was like a Cat 1, formed a lot like Hurricane Barry in 2019 from a disturbance that came off the continental U.S. into the Gulf. And then, you know, I didn't have the funding in a vehicle or whatever to go down to the Gulf. I wasn't covering hurricanes outside of North Carolina yet because, you know, they kept coming to me. At least they had in 1996, right? And so it was like, oh, man. That's, you know, what am I going to do? So that's what happened. There was like not many hurricanes that year, yet I still was successful. You know, I got the maps out. And so I guess I should back up. Not only did I do the one for Curtis Media Group, we did three of them for the three stations up there, two news talks and I think a country station. But also I did the one down in Wilmington again with WAAV AM 980. And the same sponsors, and I even made a little bit of money off of that. I kind of forgot that part. So I had four publications out. Hurricane Maps Enterprises had four publications. Wilmington, Raleigh, Chapel Hill, and Goldsboro. I remember now it was Goldsboro. It was a country station. I believe it was Goldsboro. And so, you know, there was that. And I thought, okay, I can make it. I can make it. We can weather this quiet. You say weather the storm, right? But you also have to weather the quiet. You got to weather the calm between the storms. But I had momentum, and we had this Project Impact that was just starting out. And that was going to be a major injection of business opportunities, innovation, and really, for me, as we go through these next couple of chapters, 98, 99, would propel me at this early stage of my career into the stratosphere. It really would. We'll talk about that as we move forward. But 1997 was this key year, you know, where I really started to ramp up and build on what I did in 96. I had my son born, etc., just to recap here. And I was ready. You know, I thought, this is it. I'm going to be able to do this someday as a full-time job. So as 97 went on, I left the blockade runner as a bellboy and got a job with the city of Wilmington in their GIS department. I think it was also in their tax records or something like that. Ironically, it was right across the street from where I worked with the county in 1996. And that's how I finished out in 1997. I had a, I think it was a 1 or 2 year job, or maybe it was open-ended. I don't remember for sure. It was not a like career job where, oh, here you go, Mark, you know, $32,000 a year, full benefits, you're 8 to 5. It was, you know, 8 to 5, you know, $9 an hour, and you know, maybe a year, whatever. It was like a project. It was like a step above being an intern. Maybe it led to something full-time if I wanted it, but not quite, because they were figuring out their GIS. GIS means geographic information systems, by the way, computer mapping, that kind of thing. And so that's what I did, you know, to pay the bills. I made pretty good money doing that, you know, relatively speaking, right? And my wife was working up at Pender Memorial Hospital still, and we had a baby. You know, we had this little, you know, born in March, so by the summer he was, you know, starting to crawl, whatever. And, you know, there I was a father in 1997. And it's like, whoa, talk about life-changing. You know, here I am. I got a career starting. I'm trying to develop this entrepreneurship, you know, my own path. I am using my degree in everything I'm doing, you know, whether it's my entrepreneur job, creating my own thing, or working for the city of Wilmington, helping with their mapping system. And I'm still out there every possible moment that I could go learn from somebody, somebody at the weather service, somebody at a TV station, many of the personalities here in Wilmington, whether it was George Elliott early on at WCT, to this gentleman named Jeff Harden, TV meteorologist at Channel 6, WCT, you know, the local emergency management coordinators, you'd have area coordinators, any conference I could go to locally, I would, soaking it up, what can we talk about with the people? How can we, I mean, my energy level, which of course I was 26 years old, so why not, right? Was off the charts. I mean, unlimited energy, even with a little baby. That's hard to do. And we did not do daycare. You know, my wife and I decided early on, we're not doing daycare. When she's not working, she'll watch Nathan. And when I'm not working, I'll watch Nathan, but no daycare. So, you know, I had this little boy to kind of introduce to the world of weather whenever I could. And yeah, as a little infant crawling around, he didn't care. He didn't know, but I loved it. It was all part of this new thing, you know, 2 years now after I graduated college, and I was well on my way. I really was. And it was an exciting time. I also bought, finally, with some of the funding, woohoo, you know, it's like reinvest, here we go. I bought a Gateway 2000 computer. Remember those? Came in the cow boxes. I did. I bought a Gateway 2000 computer, and I was connected to the internet. All right. I sure was. It was like, wow. I had a Windows graphical user interface, whatever it was back then. What? Windows 95, I guess, right? And my world became much bigger. I was able to do more than ever before. Learning Photoshop, learning how to write, you know, and I still didn't have a website, but I had like whatever GeoCities or something. You know, there was an online world that was starting, and I was able to research and reach out to people through email, different authors of books, from Cary Emanuel at MIT to Dr. Jay Baker, a geographer at FSU. And a tremendously well-respected scientist and other people. It started really allowing me to do more learning than, come on, you know, the internet now, it's like the Library of Alexandria right in your fingertips, times a zillion. And that started for me in earnest in 1997. And I had these visions you know, literally and figuratively, both in my head and I would jot them down, of building something on the internet as we knew it back then, what we now know as a website. What would I do? How would I do it? Lots and lots of ideas going forward to really make hurricane tracking and information exciting, informative, and not scary. Remove the hype and the BS that we know is out there, that hype machine, and just make it more like you're promoting the release of a major motion picture. Look at it like that. A big movie is getting ready to come out this summer. It's got a huge trailer with it, a poster at the theater. It's a big deal. We all anticipate it. And nobody's ever scared of a movie premiere. It's exciting, you know? And that's what I wanted to do for hurricane awareness and information. Make it exciting. Because I figured if I could capture people's attention, I could teach them something. And at that young age, I knew a lot, you know, and I figured my energy would rub off more than my experience. In other words, what I lacked in experience, I made up for with my energy and my passion. And that was all happening in 97. So even though it was a down year, hurricane-wise, it was a really amazing year for me to take a leap forward on a lot of different levels. Brand new dad, got on the internet, expanded my map universe into the Carolinas or into North Carolina more than ever, you know, like more than I could have dreamed, right? Made a little extra money, you know, it was good. Life was good. And I was ready. I was ready for that next chapter that would be 1998, which we'll cover next week. So there you go, 1997. What a year, what a year. So again, a recap here as to what we'll be doing in the future. In the early part here, as we get into the early 2000s, this will be chronological. Next week, I'll go over 1998, you know, which is another huge year. As I said, they're going to almost all... There's only one year that really wasn't that huge, and we'll get to that down the road a piece. But eventually, especially as we start introducing the cast of characters, right, that I came to know, we're going to involve more people. And the podcast will start having a guest. That's coming. You got to start somewhere. And these first few chapters are going to lay the groundwork so that eventually I'm going to start interviewing other people, or not even interviewing. We're just going to talk. That's what I want to do. I just want to talk. These are stories from the Hurricane Highway. This is not just me, you know, well, this happened and then that happened. I'm trying to tell you stories. Like, again, we're sitting around at a dinner together, or at a, like I say, the old campfire analogy, and just tell stories of how things evolved, and you get to get those intimate details that will eventually be in a book someday down the road. And this will all be the groundwork for it. As I said in chapter one, when I'm done with this, and I will never be done because this is always ongoing until I retire, I'll be able to just tell my ghostwriter, oh, go download all the podcast episodes from Stories from the Hurricane Highway, and there's your outline for the book. Piece of cake. It's done. All right. So that is it. That's 1997. What a year it was, and what a career it has been. And you got to start somewhere. And those were the early beginnings there, 95, 96, 97. A lot of progress. All right. So that does wrap it up for this episode, this chapter, whatever you want to call it, of Stories from the Hurricane Highway. You know what? It's so awesome to have you guys part of this, and it truly is exclusive to our Patreon patrons, our supporters, this community that we've grown for the past 2 to 3 years, tremendous support. The financial part is what makes the world go round, but your feedback, the engagement, what we do together, and it's only going to grow from there. Imagine when we have several hundred to maybe even maybe one day thousands of patrons, and what we're going to be able to do, not only with being able to reinvest the funding into more exciting things, but just that engagement is so important, and your feedback along the way is just vital, and I appreciate it so much. I'm glad you could be a part of this and support what I do, not only with your dollars, your hard-earned money, but your encouragement and your enthusiasm. it makes me want to sit here and do this with all the energy that I had back when I was 26. All right. So thank you so much. I appreciate it. I am Mark Sutter. This is it. A wrap, as I say, for Stories from the Hurricane Highway, the year 1997. I am Mark Sutter, HurricaneTrack.com. Thanks for listening. I'll be back with you next week.